The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Some people told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. Jesus said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 people who were killed when the tower at Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than anyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. And he told them this parable. There once was a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard. And when he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but I have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. So about 6 years ago, I built this little house where I hope to retire when I turn 75. And a buddy of mine who is a cardiologist in Fredericksburg, he's actually the head of the cardiology department at Mary Washington Hospital, knew how much I liked figs. So he cultivates figs and he gives them to people all the time. So I have 4 fig trees in my yard in King George County. I have never in 5 years gotten a single fig off of any of these trees. So it was biblical. I called up Franz and I said, "I'm going to cut them down." And he said, "No, try 888 or 10-10-10 fertilizer. Fertilize the soil, make sure it gets enough water. Let's see if they bear figs." Last year, not a single fig. So about 3 weeks ago, I chopped them down. The problem was, of course, not that figs do what figs do, right? And the soil's bad, but figs love bad soil. The problem was they didn't get enough sunshine. They only had about 4 or 5, because I'm in the woods, they only got like 4 or 5 hours a day of sun. Well, the story that we have today that Jesus tells, it seems a little bit disconnected from everything else, but I'm going to show you how this all connects. Because the gospel starts out with people having questions that a lot of people are having today. There's this tower that fell on people, and somebody said it's because those people were big sinners that tower fell on them. Or Pilate, who had, I guess, killed some Galileans and mixed their blood with the blood of their sacrifices because he thought their sacrifices were, well, he was a pagan, right? But we've had these kind of questions many times before. I remember when Katrina hit New Orleans. The people in my parish were all certain that that's because New Orleans is Sin City and God was trying to wipe Sin City off the face of the earth. We've seen this whole thing about the AIDS crisis too, where people thought God's punishing these people. Now we've even heard from a church leader in Russia that probably the whole war in Ukraine needs to happen because these countries are becoming too socially progressive and every country who does this deserves this kind of thing. People come to me almost every day. They talk about the terrible suffering in their life, and the first thing they say is, "What did I do wrong? How is it that I can endure a faith in God where he makes all this happen to me?" Do you see, all of these have that same kind of understanding of God, that God is the punisher. But everything about Mass today says the opposite. In reality, God is about mercy. People who instill fear in you only do it so that they can control you. And God, who doesn't try to control us at all, would never, ever try to instill fear in any of us by having a tower fall on somebody or a hurricane wipe out their city. So rather than cut it down, my friend said, nurture it. This is not the kind of thing that we would necessarily do right away, because I wanted to cut down my fig trees. Give it another year, he said, and see what happens. Well then, not even to mention the possibility of the unexpected things that God can bring about in his interaction with us and with his creation, God is always surprising. So look at what happens to the bush in the first reading today. God is present in that bush as a fire that does not consume it. Now, you know how dry bushes are in the desert? They go up like that. This is absolutely the opposite of a punisher. This is a God who is gentle. This is a God whose subtlety is so in tune with his nature that he can be both fire and life at the same time. So when Moses encounters this mystery, he doesn't know what he's looking at first. So he draws closer to find out what it is. And he hears the Lord's voice saying, come no nearer, take off your sandals, because the place where you come is holy ground. Whenever you and I enter into a mystery, and of course this is all being prefigured, isn't it? It's the mystery of Christ, because what does this burning bush do? It starts the whole story about the Passover, the people's deliverance from Egypt, passing through the waters of the Red Sea. There's an allusion to it in the second reading today, how it was the water of our baptism that spares us, but it was God who starts this process right from the start. This is holy ground. And Moses hid his face, afraid to look at God, because Moses realized that God was something completely different than he had expected. God is not the punisher. God is not the one whose presence, you know, the people, even in Moses' time, they believed that if you were to behold the face of God, that you would be destroyed. God draws near to us to let us know that that is not the case. That it is, in fact, God's intention to save. God is love. God is mercy. God is all truth. His intention is to save as the bush, as the fig tree, as the waters of the Red Sea, and the baptism that we have all received.